Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, world. It's a new day, and we hope it's treating you good for this May 22nd, 2023. 9:04 on the clock. Got your host, James J. here. I am joined by our head of news, Melissa K.
Good morning, good morning.
And we have Beth Habacker with us.
Good morning.
Hope you're having a great start to your week out there. Thanks for kicking it off with us. We appreciate the greatest listeners in radio for joining us. We want you to join us throughout the shows here and everything. Have in your dial 424-2600 on your phone or wherever, whatever you're using to get in touch with people. And go ahead and have that ready, that number ready to call up and join us, not only for contests and different things we have, but we want you to interact with us more. We want more conversation with you. Also encourage you to stream us 24/7 at civicmedia.us. You can also stream us here at WFHR just by going to WFHR.com. Mm-hmm. Good stuff coming up for us in a little bit. Entertainment news, and Danny Wright story, good stories of the day. All of those things in your future. But right now, it is a Monday morning, 9 o'clock hour. You know what time it is. Something good.
Well, welcome to the Kitchens Open here on WFHR. We have fun talking about food in kitchens on Monday mornings, and today we're going to take a deep dive into food regulations and food safety.
That sounds important and possibly complicated. But before we dive into that, we need to thank our sponsor. The Kitchen is Open is sponsored by Chatterbox Catering, a full-service catering company equipped for all your catering needs.
That's right. I think it's safe to say summer is here for the duration. If you need to book a caterer for your summer gatherings, or maybe even get one lined up for that family reunion this fall, you'll want to call Kathy. Her homemade sauces and foods are delicious, and they're even better enjoyed outdoors. Make your party planning easy by calling Kathy.
That's right. Kathy will help you plan the perfect menu for whatever kind of party you're having. Just call 715-712-3393. We'll tell you that number again at the end of the segment.
All right, so we're going to get into this, food regulations and safety. I got interested in the topic when we were discussing the differences between food regulations in Europe and the U.S., and that led me down a path of foods of the history of food safety. Now, we all learn at a fairly young age the importance of keeping food fresh. I don't know about you two, but I've had food poisoning more than once, and it's no fun at all.
Oh, no. You end up in the bathroom having things come out one end or the other.
Both. Or both.
Yeah, and that's not fun.
No. So foodborne illnesses have a long history. Historians believe the first documented case dates back to 323 BC to Alexander the Great.
Wow.
Doctors and scholars think the ancient ruler may have died from typhoid fever caused by salmonella.
They didn't know that at the time, but the people who have studied these historical accounts of his symptoms and death figure that's what it was. Those indicate that Alexander the Great did indeed die of food poisoning.
That's fascinating.
Now, the first English food laws were believed to be the assize of bread and the assize of beer in 1202. They were proclaimed by King John of England. The laws regulated the weight, quality, or price of bread or beer in a community.
When a quarter of wheat is sold for 12 pence, then wester bread of a farthing shall weigh 6 pounds and 16 shillings. But bread crocket of a farthing of the same grain of the bottle shall weigh more than wastel by 2 shillings. It goes on from there. But it gets even more confusing, especially the more cockney I go with it.
So what does that even mean?
So the laws assigned prices based on the weight and the quality of the bread. Wastel and simnel bread are of the highest quality, while cocket bread is of a lower quality because it includes some of the boltel, which is what is sifted away from the finest flour, probably bran. Mm. So people that spoke Cockney, James, probably bought cocket bread because the lower price. The government stepped in to assure that the same money bought a fair product everywhere. Their money system was actually based on weight. Now, we're not going to get too deep into early English currency because it's really confusing.
Yes.
A pound was 20 shillings and a shilling was 12 pence. So a pound was equivalent to 240 pence, which weighed a pound. The British, they resisted decimalization until 1971. Talk about cultural tradition.
Yeah. The American colonists enacted their own aziz of bread in 1646. In those days, people knew where their food came from, so laws focused on prohibitioning adulteration or adding ingredients to food that reduced quality. The first original food safety law passed in 1785. It was called the Massachusetts Act Against Selling Unwholesome Provisions.
Mm-hmm. States regulated food quality within each state, and each had their own laws. It wasn't until 1862 that a nationwide food safety organization was formed when President Abraham Lincoln began the U.S. Department of Agriculture. He appointed chemist Charles M. Wetherill to lead the Division of Chemistry. That later became the Bureau of Chemistry in 1901. The name changed to the Food and Drug Administration in 1906.
But first, we have to jump back 1 year to 1905 and talk about the novel written by Upton Sinclair called The Jungle. He described in this novel in nauseating detail the filthy conditions in a Chicago meatpacking house. His book caused a public uproar, and in response, President Theodore Roosevelt passed the Pure Food and Drug Act and the Federal Meat Inspection Act in 1906. So the Pure Food and Drug Act prevented the manufacture, sale, or transportation of adulterated or misbranded food, drugs, medicine, and liquors. And the Federal Meat Inspection Act prohibited the sale of adulterated or misbranded meat and meat products for food and ensured that meat and meat products were slaughtered and processed under sanitary conditions.
In 1938, the Pure Food and Drug Act was revised with new provisions added. It was renamed the Federal Food, Drug, and Cosmetics Act. The new provisions required safe tolerances to be set for unavoidable poisonous substances and products, as well as other standards.
20 years later, in 1958, the Federal Food, Drug, and Cosmetics Act of 1938 was amended again to include the Food Additive Amendment. This was because of consumer concerns about the impact of unknown chemicals in the food they consumed. The amendment ensured the safety of ingredients used in processed foods.
Now, it wasn't until the 1970s when the U.S. had the first major food recall. In 1973, more than 75 million cans of mushrooms were removed from store shelves after a nationwide outbreak of botulism.
Several acts were put into place over the next couple of decades to test food quality and safety. In 1993, an outbreak of E. coli from a jack-in-the-box caused illness in over 700 people. Almost 200 ended up in the hospital, and four children died. By 1996, the pathogen reduction, HACCP systems landmark rule was issued. It focused on prevention and reduction of microbiological pathogens on raw products that cause illness.
In 2011, the Food Safety Monitorization Act, or FSMA, was signed into law. FSMA enables the FDA to focus on food safety preventative measures rather than being reactionary when an outbreak occurs.
And most recently, in 2020, the FDA released its blueprint for a new era of smarter food safety. Now, this newest effort hopes to reduce foodborne illnesses or lessen its burden. It focuses on traceability, digital technologies, and evolving food business models. As we learned during the COVID-19 pandemic, bacteria, viruses, and pathogens aren't always predictable.
Mm-hmm. So true. That is a really, really fascinating and interesting history on food regulations in the U.S. I think just in regulations in general, Melissa, I really, really can't thank you enough for doing the homework on this one, because I didn't know a lot of that. I think the audience is better suited knowing so much of that. But what were you saying earlier about differences between here and in the EU?
Well, so both markets have consistently high food standards. And as you mentioned, you know, this is evolving and it's still evolving in both here and Europe. But the main differences between here and there are in food ingredient standards and labeling. So the U.S. takes more of a hands-off approach. Often food ingredients are allowed unless proven harmful. In Europe, they have the European Food Safety Authority, or EFSA, that enforces food regulations in all 27 member nations of the European Union. They require that additives be proven safe before they are approved for use in food. They've also banned the use of growth hormones and several chemical additives.
They also list their food additives differently on labels. They assign a 3- or 4-digit code to every food additive. The EFSA believes it's easier for consumers to memorize these codes than the full list of additives. In the U.S., each additive has to be printed out in full.
So there's 8 common ingredients that are banned in Europe but are allowed here. Now, according to the website tillydistribution.com, this is the list. And then I also referenced another list from wellwithray.com, and she listed out the potential harm that these can cause. So RBHG or RBST is a growth hormone. And according to Well with Ray, let me pull that one up here. RBST is a synthetic growth hormone used to increase milk production in cows. We've heard of this.
Mm-hmm.
It's associated with an increased risk of breast, colon, and prostate cancer in humans. Then there's, I'm going to slaughter these names, but bear with me here.
Welcome to my world.
Racoptamine. So they use this to increase lean muscle in animal stock. And the possible harm from this is it's a feed additive given to animals to promote leanness, and it's linked to heart problems in humans.
Mm.
Then we have potassium bromate. That makes baked goods whiter and increases volume. And the possible side effects, an oxidizing agent that gives dough its white color, and it's known as a nervous system disruptor.
Ooh.
And then there's brominate vegetable oil. This is used in a lot of sodas and beverages to keep flavors from separating. According to Well with Ray, it's also used as a flame retardant in plastics and furniture. It can build up in the body and potentially lead to memory loss, skin, and nervous problems.
Mm-hmm. Hmm.
Then we have, there's Elestra, that's a fat substitute. That is a cholesterol-free fat substitute that's known to irritate the digestive system. And it hinders the body's absorption of minerals A, D, E, and K.
Mm.
Then we have azodicarbonamide. Azodicarbonamide.
Nice job.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. It's used to bleach flour. And it's a known common allergen.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, we have the coloring agents, red number 40, yellow number 6, number 5, and blue number 1. We've heard a lot about these, and we know they're artificial colors and they're known carcinogens.
Mm-hmm.
And lastly, BHA and BHT, they're preservatives. And when they've been studied, they show long-term exposure to high doses is toxic in mice and rats, causing liver, thyroid, kidney problems, and affecting lung function and blood coagulation.
Wow.
So the banning of these ingredients and stricter food regulations mean common large companies sell different products overseas than they do here in the U.S. If you really want to take a deep dive on this, check out the website foodbabe.com. The author is named Vani Hari, and she has been investigating the food industry for years. She's built up what she calls the Food Babe Army.
All right.
God, that's a great name for a website.
It is.
That is so good. According to her website, with the help of the entire Food Babe Army, we have been able to force some multi-billion dollar food companies to change for the better, including Kraft, Chick-fil-A, Chipotle, Subway, General Mills, Panera Bread, Anheuser-Busch, and Starbucks. Our work has been featured on every major news network, and I'm now a New York Times bestselling author and was named one of the most influential people on the internet by Time Magazine. And it's very cool, and it is a really, really interesting website.
It is. And she is actually pretty much a babe.
Mm.
But her story is interesting, too, because that isn't why she got into it. She was going through a food crisis, a medical crisis because of the issues that foods were causing to her body. So she went into it.
Yeah.
Now, I didn't go too deep into her site yet. It was a little overwhelming to me, the amount of information she has there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I could see myself getting a little freaked out about what I'm buying and eating. So I decided to focus small and start on an item that we eat almost every day, deli meat.
Mm.
Now, my boyfriend takes sandwiches to work every day, and many of us have heard about the concerns of nitrates and deli meat. Vanni goes into detail about trying to find out all of the ingredients in specific deli brands, and she was not able to get straight answers from the manufacturers. So I thought I would look into what it would take to make it at home, and I was surprised at how easy it actually is.
Does that mean it's recipe time?
Yes.
Yay!
Yes, it is, Beth.
I found this incredibly easy recipe to make turkey deli meat at home. Hmm. It's from don'twastethecrumbs.com. All you need,
name.
I love that name. All you need is a whole boneless turkey breast. You season the outside however you want. You make it. You make homemade seasoning salt or use cracked pepper and salt, but the salt is important. The other seasonings can really be up to you. Preheat your oven to 350 degrees. Rub your seasonings all over the turkey and massage it in. Put the turkey breast in an 8x8 glass pan and drizzle it with about a teaspoon of olive oil per side. Roast it for about 90 minutes or until the temps are between 165 and 170. Allow it to cool a bit and refrigerate it overnight. After it's completely chilled, it is much easier to cut. Mm-hmm. Use a serrated knife and cut thin slices. You can slice the whole thing all at once and freeze what you don't use within a week's time.
You can do essentially the same thing to make roast beef. The main difference is that you will want to start a day earlier so that you can rub the roast with salt and refrigerate it overnight first. The salt will act as a tenderizer as well as add flavor. Rinse it the next day and season it again with a little salt and pepper. Then you roast it at about 300 degrees until it reaches its internal temperature of 115 to 120. Again, you'll want to chill it completely after you try to slice it up. It might even help to throw it in the freezer for a couple of hours to par freeze it before slicing.
So everything I read, slicing is the most difficult part because when you want deli meats, you want it to be nice and thin. So chilling it well, or even like you said, James, par freezing it really helps to get it firm enough to slice it thin.
Yeah.
So this one, to make deli or ham deli meat at home, it takes a little longer to prep. You'll need to brine it first with salt and sugar. For a 3 to 4 pound top round or bottom round ham, you'll need 2.5 teaspoons of salt and 1 tablespoon of brown sugar. So it's not really that much. You put the ham in a bowl and cover it with the water and your measured sugar and salt. Allow it to brine in the fridge for 3 to 4 days. Then you'll rinse off the brine and put it in a large pot and cover with fresh water. Simmer it until it reaches about 155 degrees inside. Or you can roast it in the oven at 250 to 300 degrees until it reaches an internal temp of 150. And again, you'll want to cool it before you slice it.
Wow, these all sound pretty easy to do. You'll have to let us know if they turn out if you try it at home.
Yes, for sure. I am going to try it, and I will give you a follow-up on this one.
Please do.
But for now, we need to wrap up this segment.
Aww.
We want to send out a big thank you to Chatterbox Catering for sponsoring our Kitchens Open segment.
If you have catering needs, contact Kathy at Chatterbox, and she will create the perfect menu for your party.
Whatever your catering needs, contact Kathy at 715-712-3393 and let Chatterbox Catering cook up something good. And with that, we'll close the kitchen.
Another wonderful segment. Another wonderful job, Melissa. Thank you so much. Both of you guys, great work on that one. That was fun. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I really do like the idea of having those codes instead of learning all those names, because that would be easier.
It would. I loved hearing the history of this, that I think we think of that. We talked about food pyramids.
Yeah.
We talked about a lot of these things and how it doesn't, eggs are good one day, eggs are bad another day, you know, that kind of stuff. Well, this isn't new. We've been doing it like this since since we've been doing this and everything. And you have a real breakdown of history there with that. I thought that was really informative. Nice work, Mel.
Yeah.
Take a break. Come back and cut you off. taking a break and having fun on the way. Morning show here at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR. Locally grown radio. Hope you're having a great start to your week out there. Thanks for kicking it off with us.
We get it almost every night.
We're going to have some fun here and getting in some entertainment news. And we start things off with the Taylor Swift Army call them? Swifties? Swifters?
Swifties.
Swifters? Swifties. Swiftjet?
No. Don't get him mad at you, James.
No. Don't want to do that. I'm not going to be able to get this guy mad at me because he's got to be pretty happy. So one standout Swiftie was, like many others, unable to secure a ticket to the Eras Tour the traditional way by getting tickets through, you know, Ticketmaster or anything like that. Mm-hmm. So he devised a plan to get into Swift's concerts in Tennessee anyway. Taking matters into his own hands, Nashville accountant Davis Perago told News Channel 5 on Thursday that he applied for a job as a security guard at Swift's shows in Nashville at Nissan mm-hmm. Stadium earlier this month so he could attend.
Yeah, oh, there
nice.
You go.
There you go.
He said, and it worked. One could call Perago a mastermind of sorts because the plan did indeed work. Quote, I've been to all sorts of sporting events. This was the loudest I've ever heard it. He said, adding the fans were so unbelievably loud. but well done, sir.
Yeah.
Well done. Yeah. Nice move there and everything. And they need security guards and stuff like that for those things. So sometimes they don't want you to talk about these things because, it might encourage other people to do that kind of stuff. I hope it does.
Right.
I hope it does. Now, certainly, you've got to do a job to do. You're not exactly going to be able to. You can't turn around and face Taylor. Like, you've got to be. In fact, actually doing this, you better not be looking at Taylor throughout most of the show. You've got to be focused in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to, treat this as if, you know, this is a death metal crowd or something like that. Like, you have to worry about people stage diving or whatever. But I don't know, that fan base seems pretty crazy to me. Like, I wouldn't I'll tell you this, I would not take my eye off them. I have a there are certain things in life I don't believe you ever turn your back on. This is one of them situations.
And concert crowds.
Yes, I would not be turning my back on those. But good on them for doing it.
Yeah,
that's pretty cool. It's a smart idea.
Yeah.
We're actually going to talk about something kind of similar in Playmakers today, but that we've touched on the morning show here that I want to get into. So we'll see how that goes. Again, Playmakers on today from 10 to 11, as it is every Monday, except for next Monday, where we have Memorial Day off, and we're going to have Playmakers on Tuesday.
There you go.
There you go.
We'll talk a little bit about Harrison Ford right now. First, I wanted to mention that Harrison Ford received an honorary award at Indiana Jones 5 premiere at the Cannes Film Festival.
Wow.
It was a really beautiful moment. The nostalgic John Williams composed score of Indiana Jones movies played as Harrison Ford walked up to the stage at the Grand Theater Lumiere in Cannes to accept his honorary Palme d'Or award on Thursday. Now, I could have played that iconic John Williams theme right there, but I wanted to test us. I wanted to see if we could get it.
Okay.
All right. So all three of us, let's go right at the same time here.
Dun, 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 dun,
dun, dun, dun, dun.
Dun 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 dun
dun dun dun dun. See, we didn't need the audio cue.
Little low for me, but yeah,
it was good.
We got
right there. It was really good. It really. First off, just as a side note, credit to John Williams.
My goodness,
when they talk about goats in sports and everything, Brady, Jordan, this kind of stuff, those are great goats and everything. Mm-hmm. There's really one goat. It's John Williams.
Absolutely.
There's nobody who has done composing like John Williams has. Nobody.
No.
A quick shout out to him, and a big shout out to Harrison Ford, who I think has handled his career incredibly.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't like, because I'm a big fan of his, I don't like thinking about him being towards the end of his career.
Yeah.
But he has been talking about that.
Well, he's not a young pup anymore.
No. His wife would be one of the first ones to tell you that Clarissa Flockhart was at this event and basically encouraging him to retire. She wants him home. She wants, he's done enough and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Harrison Ford has been a game changer for a lot of actors for a lot of reasons. One, I've talked about this before. He's the first one to tell you, I'm not a thespian. You're not going to ever see Harrison Ford doing Shakespeare. You're not going to see him doing Hamlet or anything like that. That's just not his style. That's not who he is.
Mm-hmm.
One of the hardest things to do as a creative is, there's my ceiling. No.
Right.
The essence of being a creative is there is no ceiling. I could do it all. I'm going to go over here. I'm going to go over there and everything. And knowing your lane. like that kind of thing.
He knows his strengths. Right.
Yeah. You know, not everybody has to be the Beatles. Not everybody has to go from I Want to Hold Your Hand to Sgt. Pepper. Some people can be, you know, AC/DC and go from Back in Black to Thunderstruck, where there's not a gigantic difference musically there, but they're both humongous hits. Both of them, you know, sold a billion records and everything and stuff. So I think Harrison Ford like that. I think of him as similar, like an AC/DC, like a little like that of just he's going to keep doing his thing throughout his career.
Right.
Yeah, there's not a big difference between Jack Ryan and Han Solo, but that it works for him. He's one of the big, literally one of the biggest box office sellers of all time. He's still in the top five. Well, and Beth touched on, he's getting older. Harrison Ford is 80 years old, and he's done playing Indiana Jones. He's already said that before. But he's not sad about it, as you might think. He says, quote, "I'm real happy with age. I love being older. It was great to be young, but that junk, I could be dead and I am still working. So go figure." Because he went through a lot in a young age. And so he's very happy to have made it through that. A journalist at the Cannes Film Festival told Ford she still thinks he's hot and brought up his shirtless scenes in the movie. And he replied, quote, "I've been blessed with this body. Thanks for noticing."
Nice. Thanks for noticing.
Yep.
Actors aren't supposed to get old. That's what we're supposed to lie about our age. We're supposed to fight age with all we can, with every little bit of cosmetic help and all these different things. That's not acting. That's not real.
Right.
It's not human.
No. If you're doing your job as an actor, go back to Jodie Foster's quote, acting is about being the most uncool person in the room. It is about being that person, being whatever that character, whatever that person is. Did that person have plastic surgery done? Did that person have a filter on their Snapchat? Did they, you know, I mean, these kind of things and stuff. That stuff matters. That stuff really goes a long way. We need more of the older guard to be talking like this. We need that more.
That's what I'm loving. I mean, we're seeing so many more movies that have that type of a cast in it. I mean, look, the Book Club movie is back out. You had 80 for Brady. You know, those kind of movies are just, we need more and more of those. We're starting to say, you know what? And I think it's a generational thing because all of these actors are a part of the largest generation that we've had in the baby boomers. And so baby boomers want to see themselves out there. So we're starting to see that. And the blessing is hopefully that's going to trickle down to ours so that as we age, we're still going to see that out there.
Yeah, I think that the you know, in the in today's culture, we're getting a lot more better about representation and you know, finding a balance with woke and those kind of things. But we're still working to try to make age a something that we represent, and that includes not only young but older seniors and stuff. So you see those movies and everything, and representation matters when it comes to that. It's also because some of the only people going to movies are older people, and so they are going to make sure that they have movies that they want to see. But that's okay if it you know, if it at least shows some representation. That's important. That's cool, too. Representation is certainly big, but it's not. It doesn't just start and end with creeds or with sexes, you know, and those things. Then there's age. There's weight. There's a lot of different factors that we got work to do on that. We got work to do right now. Let's get to Melissa's news. Let's go ahead and do that. Take care of that. And we'll come back and have some more fun on the morning show here at WFHR, where we are locally grown radio. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here on WFHR, locally grown radio. Hope you're having a great start to your Monday. Thanks for kicking it off with us. Melissa, Beth, and James here with you. Got to get into this one now. And there are, I like to be informed even on subjects that I don't necessarily need to know anything about. I find information, you know, addictive, to be honest, and knowledge addictive. I love learning.
It's also a huge help when you play trivia.
Yes, very much. Very much. But on this subject, I literally have no help whatsoever. I have very, very little I can offer to this topic. We're going to talk a little bit about dieting And in these days, one big benefit of credit cards, and part of that is the credit card apps and digital wallets, is that you always have an update ledger of where your money was spent.
Mm-hmm.
The days of opening your wallet, your purse, and seeing cash in there and be like, where did that come from? Like, it doesn't happen as much anymore. You're usually pretty familiar with what's in there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, a new study out of Notre Dame found that people are more likely to pay in cash for transactions that are harder to justify. Maybe you're grabbing a pack of cigarettes or a case of beer, or you're trying to cut when you're trying to cut back, or you're at the donut shop cheating on your diet. Paying in cash keeps the transaction hidden from your usual account tracking, mm-hmm. and makes it easier for you to forget about. If it's something that you can easily justify, like a salad or some deodorant, then sure, put it in the books. The researchers looked at more than 100,000 transactions, and they say this pattern proved to be true across different price ranges. So it isn't just people buying a donut in cash because it's cheap. They're doing this mainly for to cover a paper trail. Okay. The other part of this study that that you can go to find out more, but was in a different article about this subject that I found interesting, was we're not lying to most of the time. We're just doing it to ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
We're not trying to lie to a significant other or something like that, or a friend or what have you, or your relatives or something. It's mainly yourself that you're trying to con here.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, it's all psychological. I'd like to know how they tracked it, though. How did they, were they following people around to see when they were using a credit card and when they were using cash?
Well, they were looking for patterns,
right.
with this, and they saw with this that most people, there weren't the transactions, because the people were telling, like, okay, I bought this, and this. I'm like, okay, but wait a minute, you didn't have a transaction here. You didn't have a digital transaction here, but you said you bought a donut. How did, you know, okay, mm-hmm. so all these people are buying donuts with cash. Well, that seems like a pattern. That seems, I do like your version, though, Beth. I like the idea of just these people just following people around.
Following around.
Taking notes.
Yes, I do like that. I like that idea. I like that.
Because this is relying on the fact that people are going to be honest. You know, if they're,
right.
you know, if somebody asks them, well, you know, what have you eaten? And then the person saying, well, yeah, I spent some cash on this instead. You know, it's hard to track those numbers sometimes. But I think it's fascinating. It doesn't surprise me, because it's one way to psych ourselves out, you know,
and
kind of hide it from ourselves.
Well, and I usually keep a little bit of cash in my wallet, mm-hmm. kind of just for that reason. It's like, all right, well, I'm going to buy fast food today and I'm going to use cash for it. Because then I don't have to see it on my debit card receipts.
Nice. For me, again, you're only lying to yourself. So you're really, like any of these things, it always comes back to you. You're hurting yourself, mm-hmm. only and everything. But I also, I think that we need to give ourselves grace sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd like to think that overall, we've got work to do, but overall, I think our country, our world is getting better about empathy and getting better about that.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think we've made a lot of ground in doing it for ourselves.
Mm-mm.
I think we personally are still our own worst enemy. We personally have to, tend to look at the glasses half empty for ourselves. Maybe
right.
we do half full for others, or just in general. But when we come, but all of a sudden the game changes when we're just talking about ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And there's so many people that I think we know off the top of our head that are like this. But I think if you generally think about it, it's harder for me to think of anybody in my immediate life, in my circle or anything like that, that is not guilty of this,
mm-hmm.
that is
mm-hmm.
not their own worst enemy.
Mm-hmm.
I honestly can't think of anybody
no.
off the top of my head that is in my life that I would say, oh, they don't beat themselves up. Like, we all do this.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, most of us, when we look in the mirror, we're not looking for what looks good.
Yeah.
We're looking for what do we need to fix.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So it's ingrained in us from a young age that we are to be our own worst critic so that we can present our best self out there.
And I think it's important to remind ourselves, when you hear that internal voice of, hey, wait, would I say this to my best
mm-hmm.
friend? Would I say this to my sibling who's struggling, or my cousin who's having a rough day? You know, think about that wherever you're at in life,
mm-hmm.
and give yourself that grace. Talk to yourself like you would your best friend.
Absolutely.
I was looking in the mirror the other day, checking, and like, okay, all right, this isn't bad. All right, we're working well, all right, today. Not mm-hmm. bad. Not bad for 46, James. Not bad. And then, wait a minute, what's that? What's that? Not only do I see a hair where I've never seen one before, but it's white.
I was going to say, it's a different color.
It's bad enough to find the hair, but then to find it white. Like, come on, man, that ain't cool. But I see this, and honestly, I laughed out loud.
Good.
I genuinely laughed out loud at it. I think in part because it was very early.
Yeah.
And I was a little sleep deprived and everything. But at a certain point, it just seems like there's like almost a gift in this about, mm-hmm. hey, this is as good as I'm getting today. Not bad. Not yeah. bad. Not bad at all. Like, and you mm-hmm. embrace this a little bit more, I think, the older you get. Mm-hmm. Of like, yeah, I'm aging like wine. I'm, you know, that kind of thing. I think you find a good balance with it if you're fortunate. Not everybody does.
Right.
But I know that I'm way, like, I give myself a lot more grace than I ever did as an older mm-hmm. man. I mm-hmm. still got a lot of work to do, like a lot of us do, but... Mm-hmm.
And I think part of the challenge is we try to compare ourselves to ourselves from years back.
Oh, yeah.
And you can't do that.
No. You know, you want to be what you were, you know, in your 20s or your 30s when you're in your 50s and things like that. And biology changes. You know, your hormones mm-hmm. change and the way that your body functions changes. And so trying to understand how that's happening. And it's easy to say that. And then you hit it. And then the psychology that goes into it. You know, mm-hmm. it's a challenge to work yourself through and be able to say, you know what, this is just part of how life is, and I need to figure out how to handle this better.
Most people have heard about cell regeneration.
Mm-hmm.
When I heard about this as a kid, it was so interesting to me, and it was a borderline horrific and sci-fi at first, and then reading and understanding it more, and as you get older and everything, you get a little bit better feeling of it. You realize, oh, it's a perfect metaphor of life.
Mm-hmm.
You are nothing like you were at 7 years old. Like, I would hope none of you out there listening right now, outside of if you were eight, none of you are like you were when you were seven. None of you are like you were when you were 14 or mm-hmm. 21. Mm-hmm. It's not just our cells and our skin that changes completely. It is us. Mm-hmm. We mm-hmm. are no different than we were. That's okay. That's a good thing.
It's part of life.
Yeah.
There's a beauty to that.
Makes us human.
I think you embrace this. I think the more you embrace this, the happier you'll be. I genuinely think that. Mm-hmm. I also want to get into, and we got this topic coming up one of these days. I just want to do a little homework on it. I want a survey on how many people answer surveys honestly.
Survey for a survey.
Yes. That is a topic we are going to be getting into eventually. it might be in our That Ain't Right stories, which are coming up, everybody. We got a That Ain't Right story coming up for you, along with some good stories of the day, some local good stuff, and plenty more. It is Melissa, Beth, and James taking you through your morning here at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Melissa, Beth, and James here with you. Hope you're having a great one out there, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us. We greatly appreciate all of you guys being with us today. Got Playmakers coming up for you in a little bit. Be sure to join us every Monday from 10 to 11 for Playmakers. Well, every Monday except for next Monday, of course, because next Monday is Memorial Day. We are giving our staff the day off to not only enjoy their families and friends, but, of course, to contemplate what Memorial Day is all about.
Mm-hmm.
And we also got to move out of the way because Monday is also the kickoff of the rafter season.
Woo-hoo.
Oh, happy day. May 29th, baby. That is the day that opening season kicks off for your Northwoods League, and our rafters take on the Lakeshore Chinooks right here in Rapids. You, of course, will have that game right here for you. Every pitch, every hit, every win of rafter baseball, as it's always been, will be right here at WFHR. And coming up in Playmakers today, we're going to have Tyler joining us. We're going to talk a little bit to our new announcer there. We're going to talk a little bit about the announcing team with the rafters and plenty more rafter conversation coming up with you for you in Playmakers. We'll also be taking your phone calls, of course, 424-2600, just like you would call in this show. And I want to touch on a couple of things, including the passing of an icon. We'll touch on that as well. All that coming up for you on Playmakers. Right now, we got some That Ain't Right stories we got to touch on.
Okay.
We got a peeping goat.
What?
Got a peeping goat. Now,
How dare he?
I know. I'm a big fan of goats. I love goats. I think they're great. But come on, man. That ain't right. A quote-unquote peeping goat seen peering into windows during its weeks on the loose in New Jersey has finally been captured.
He's just curious.
And moved to on a new farm. The Chatham Township Police Department said the goat, which escaped from a slaughterhouse weeks earlier, was spotted on several occasions peering into windows of homes.
He was just looking for a place to stay.
That's what I think.
Safety. Come on.
He was looking for any houses that weren't eating meat.
Yeah. It's like, help me.
All right. I see some pork tenderloin on their table. No. I am not stopping there. What, hamburgers? Mm-hmm. Nope. Keep them on moving. Why was a goat at a slaughtering house?
I
feel like that's a question that nobody's asking. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I want the answers to that, but I feel like they should be asked.
You probably don't. I mean...
I want to know because I read this article. I looked for other ones. I didn't get any feedback from the community. I wanted to know what one of these people that happened to look out the window and all of a sudden you see a goat staring at you. Like, I think goats are cool, but I like, that's when I see a goat coming and I know those eyes can be a little like daunting, let alone if you're like, you know, it's just a regular day. You just happen to look out the window and there those eyes are right at you, just staring at you.
And I just had that flash, what you see in sitcoms sometimes where you turn around and there's the eyes and then you kind of do a double take, did it, and it's gone. Like, did I really just see what I just saw?
Yeah.
if you didn't hear the goat bleeding, you know, sound.
The goat, it was
you
taken,
did that very well, Melissa.
Yeah, very good.
Thank you. I practiced in
didn't
my
know you
spare
had that
time.
In your wheelhouse. Nice. The goat was brought to a shelter. So the goat is at a shelter now. And a restaurant in Philadelphia called Drury Beer Garden just unveiled a $700 cheeseburger.
What?
Whoa. Yeah, I don't think this one's going to be on the kitchen's open. I don't think so. It's called Golden Standard Burger. It's made of a Japanese Wagyu beef and topped with Italian black truffles, caviar lobster meat, aged Irish cheddar cheese, and the top bun is completely covered in edible gold leaf.
Oh, my goodness.
And it does come with fries. So, I mean, you know, let's go. Right. Look, I'll pay the $700, but it better come with fries. I'm joking. I'm
included.
Yeah,
no extra.
I wouldn't pay $700 if you told me I could have a cheeseburger every day. Like, there's no way I would do this.
That just sounds like a whole lot of very indulgent things altogether. And I think I'd rather enjoy each one of them on their own.
Mm-hmm.
The more we do these kind of things with these crazy foods, because we've done a lot of them lately, and they all have to do with Japanese Wagyu beef and the Italian black truffles. They all have that in common. And they all have the little golden leaf thrown on there.
Yep.
Which, by the way, isn't expensive. Like, I looked into this. It's not like you'd think, oh, it's gold, so it's not that expensive. It's one of these things like parsley for rich people. It's like rich people parsley, basically, is what it is. Anytime we come across these things, I think about certainly what all the money that could do to help people that are starving right now and are struggling and all those things. But I am reminded again, I think I would make a very bad rich person. I don't think I'd be good with being rich. I don't think I'd be good at it at all. I don't get this stuff. I just don't get it. I do get this, though. Blood drives.
Yes.
And we got two of them going on today here in Wisconsin Rapids. We encourage you to be a superhero. Be a part of these if you can. The Wisconsin Rapids Rafters have a blood drive happening today at 521 Lincoln Street in Wisconsin Rapids. If you can make an appointment, that would be great. You still have some time to do that. This will be from 11 to 3, so you still have a little time. You can call 877-232-4376, 877-232-4376. We encourage you to do that. Donate and receive a coupon for up to 4 free outdoor water park passes to Mount Olympus while supplies last.
Nice.
That's a good reason right there.
Mm-hmm.
Also, we could really use you to donate, too.
Yes.
And there's another blood drive happening today from 2 to 7 over at the former East Junior High School Music Room at 311 Lincoln Street in Wisconsin Rapids. Again, if you can make an appointment, that's great. Otherwise, they encourage walk-ins. That's all right, too. Mm-hmm. If you do have questions, you can call the Blood Center of North Central Wisconsin toll-free at 866 866-5900. That's 866-566-5900.
So if you're looking to donate blood at all today, you know what block to go to.
Yeah, right? Yeah. And going on today, the Orchestra Pops at the Performing Arts Center. This is a Lincoln High School band concert, our local high school, Lincoln High School. We send a shout out to them. They have their Orchestra Pops in the Performing Arts Center at 7 o'clock tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Be sure to check that out. Everybody support these kids. It means so much to them to see adults and see people in the audience.
Yeah. And the Rams 6th grade band concert is tonight at the Rams Middle School as well.
Thank you, Beth. Mm-hmm. Nicely done. Wanted to make sure to get that in there as well. Again, any of these concerts you take in, not only are you going to get in some good music and have your night covered for entertainment, but it means a lot to, because most of us were one of these kids.
Right.
Maybe it wasn't band. Maybe it was a sporting game or debate or whatever it was. You look out in the stands, you'd see mom and dad or somebody like that. That's really cool. That's great. We encourage that. Mm-hmm. Seeing all those strangers, though.
Yeah.
All those strangers supporting you is really cool. It's it makes a really big impact. And I did want to touch on this, too. Our great friends over at Family Natural Foods have a special event this week. They have natural products that work better than drugs. Terry Lemrant is going to be hosting this. He'll be your guest speaker. Mm-hmm. Terry is a literal icon in this industry. Over 50 years of experience. There are things that we have that we in our day-to-day lives now in major part to Terry Lemrant. Huge impact on the natural medicine and health initiative and all this, and a great speaker. It's going to be a lot of fun. The event will be taking place this Wednesday at 5:15 over at the First Baptist Church at 910 McKinley Street in Wisconsin Rapids. You can park at Family Natural Foods. The church is right behind them. You can't miss it. Do encourage RSVPing for this, but if you forget or you're not able to, that is okay. But if you can RSVP, give them a call at 715-423-3120. That's 423-3120. We encourage you to stop on by over at Family Natural Foods. Visit our friends over there. Wish them a good morning from all of us and take in this fun, wonderful event, this free wellness seminar featuring Terry Lemrant. Going to be this Wednesday, 5:15 over at the First Baptist Church, 910 McKinley Street in Wisconsin Rapids.
Wonderful.
And they'll have a sale of all of his products following it at Family Natural Foods. So another good reason to stop by.
Absolutely.
Great show, you two. Thank you so much for the time.
You too, James.
Thank you.
Thank you for calling in, everybody. Appreciate our listeners out there. Got more morning show for you tomorrow. Stick around for Playmakers coming up right here on WFHR, locally grown radio.